If you can, they're going to place it on the monitor. Our scripture text of focus this morning comes from Philippians, the jail letter, that prison epistle, some of us call it, written by the Apostle Paul, the first chapter, verses 3-6. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. The New King James Version is the translation we'll be reading from. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. I've got to read that verse one more time. Being confident, assured, I say, of this very thing, that he who, meaning Jesus, who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. The word of our God for the people of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And for a focus first thought I'd like to leave with you this morning, called for purpose. Amen. Called for purpose. I do know one thing today, that I have been called. Amen. For purpose, on purpose, and to purpose. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know a lot of other things, but I know that. Hallelujah. And I thank God for that this morning, because we're living in a time period and a season where people are confused. People don't know if they want to go to left or right. You ever been driving and they in your lane? All of a sudden they switching over and coming back. They don't know what to do. Sometimes people don't know what they want to be. And you know what I mean. There are some of us that are struggling with our identity. We came into the world one thing, and now something else is going on. And I want y'all to know that that is not of God. It's the enemy. The enemy is trying to change and alter the plan and purposes of God for our lives. But you got to know your purpose in order to stand in your purpose. You got to know it. And you know, I've been saved for a minute. I hate to say it. I've been saved for a minute. But I didn't always know what God had called me to. I ran around for many years not being sure of what I was supposed to do, where I was supposed to be, and who I was. And God had to deal with me. He had to speak to me. He had to assure me that he is God and that he had a work for me to do. Amen? And I don't mean being in a ministry, and I don't mean having a title, and all those things are good. All those things are wonderful, but that doesn't mean that you have purpose. Yeah, I'm not going to preach an easy message today, because that's not what God called me to do. I'm a stirrer upper, so I'm going to drop it and keep it moving. Hallelujah. How many of you are still trying to understand or even discover the plan of God for your life in this season of your life? And I don't care what age you are. Well, I want to reassure you this morning, God's purpose for you has not changed. He knew you before you were in your mother's womb. And the purpose that he had divinely designed for you is inordinate. It hasn't changed. We may have to adjust our spiritual GPSs, because we're too busy working in the natural and dealing in the things of the carnal and the flesh. And God is trying to get us to a level of higher elevation. Anybody ever been in a plane? And you know, when the plane starts going higher, it does something to your equilibrium. But it has to get higher because it has to get to an altitude where it can level off. Well, I believe that God is trying to take you and I to a higher elevation because he said we're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, far above all of the things that we can see or even understand or experience. Amen. Anybody with me today? So I think we need to adjust and take a different route. Do you believe the word today? Hebrews, somebody, you can just turn as I'm talking, turn, because I'm going to just do this as the Spirit of God has given it to me. Hebrews 13 and 8 reassures each and every one of us in here today that although the world around us is changing drastically, the only thing that doesn't change is change, because it keeps on changing. Amen. But in the midst of all of that, we still serve a God who is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. That's what Hebrews 13 tells us. So that's our confident reassurance that in the midst of change, God does not change. So hold on. Hold on, because he's an anchor to those who find rest and refuge in him. Situations, conditions, circumstances still around us are changing, and sometimes that would almost cause us to abort the divine purpose that God has for your lives and my life. But I want you to know that God didn't just leave us at Hebrews. He took us over to Jeremiah 29 and 11, and most of you know that verse. And he reminds us that he has a what? A plan for us. For our what? Good. And not for our harm or detriment. To give us a hope and a future. That's shouting words right there, if I don't say nothing else. You have a hope and a future because of what God has already done for you. Amen? Hallelujah. God has purposed you. And that's worth giving him glory. Now I need you to do something for me. My younger people will know how to do this. But I want you to pull out your devices real quick. Pull them out. Pull them out. And I know you have them because I saw you. I saw you. Yes, I did. I saw you. Somebody tries to always make me think that we're going into the scriptures when we're on our phone. I said, the scripture wasn't even very read then. But it's okay. We got devices and we need to use them. Amen. Now I need you to turn your devices on if they're off and turn to your camera. And I want each of you to put your phone up to your face and take a selfie. Take a selfie. I'm serious. Don't play. Take a selfie right now. Right now. And then when you capture that selfie, I want you to pin it. Because later on today, I want you to write this date. Today's date, July 9th, 2023, God showed me or revealed that I have purpose. Amen. Many of us, some of us, maybe few of us, have heard a song growing up. Have y'all heard this song? Where he leads me, I will follow. Anybody heard that song? I grew up on that song. And I used to sing it, but really didn't fully understand what it meant. Because it says, I'll go with him all the way. Get that, children. But you must be called and know you are called to purpose and on purpose and for purpose to actually sing that song with conviction. Who and what is leading you today? What's driving you to do what you do? Think about that for a moment. What happens when you can no longer feel the hand of God or see the hand of God clearly in your situations like you saw him when you first got saved? Do you change? Do you alter? Do you detour? Do you deviate? Or do you stay with the purpose that God has ordained for your lives? Remember that passage. Go back to it. He who has begun a good work in you. In us, he is able to perform it until Christ returns for us. It is God himself, the creator, the all-knowing, the all-powerful, the maker of heaven and earth, who started this divine plan in each and every one of our lives, and he's big enough and bad enough to fulfill it. 1 Peter 2 and 9 reads, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Anybody sitting in that seat today? I would like to say God started it, and if we stay on course, he'll finish it. But we can only do it with the help of the Holy Ghost, because it's divine. And the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead, and he operates way above our natural understanding. That's why God says his ways are not our ways, neither are his thoughts our thoughts. But as high as the heavens are high, that's how high his ways and his thoughts are. Amen? But if you get on board with the Holy Ghost, he will take you someplace and do some things in you that you never even imagined possible. But you got to stay on course. You've got to know your purpose. You've got to know who called you and why you were called and what that calling means, and then keep it and pursue it till your last breath. When or if you start getting off course, and sometimes we get a little sidetracked. Anybody ever got sidetracked? With everything that's going on in life today, can you tell me you don't get sidetracked? I thought so. I'm in good company, because I certainly have. But God's purpose is never off point. That thing blew me away. As I was reading this, I said, what you mean, God? Sometimes you have to talk back to God, you know, when he's talking and you're like, huh? Because sometimes we don't fully understand in our natural understanding, in our humanness, what God is revealing to us. So sometimes we just got to stop. Oh, Lord, I'm getting ahead of myself. Good, meaning, purposeful children of God know that in times of distress, in times of uncertainty, in times of darkness, in times of challenge, in times of all the things that we have faced in the last 3.5 years, God is still faithful, and all we got to do is reroute. There are 3 things that I just want to leave you with today. Some of them you already know. Ask God for direction. Simple as that. I know you men sometimes, y'all, you know, thank God. We got lost going to the airport 1 year because my father did not want to follow directions. I know a shortcut, and I missed the plane because he knew a shortcut. And there's nothing wrong with that, but he would not admit it. Now, I don't know if y'all know anybody like that, but I just wanted to share that with you as a personal testimony. We've got to be willing to ask for directions. That means to pray. Then we got to listen for a response. That means we got to meditate and get still. Then we got to be willing to obey his voice, await the direction, and follow the plan. As I read these passages written by the Apostle Paul, the church of Philippi, which he was writing while he was in prison, and it was interesting why he wrote this letter. He wrote this letter to thank the Philippians for their financial support. But he also wrote the letter to inform them that Epaphroditus, one of their fellow servants, was recovering from a serious illness. Then he wanted to encourage them that even though he was in jail, he still had joy and he was still on purpose. He had not lost his initial goal. He knew what God had called him to do, and he stayed on point even until the end. No matter what, we got to be willing to stay the course. God's purpose for us is and was clear. It remains. It doesn't deviate. When Paul wrote this letter, he wrote it 10 years after he left from starting this church at Philippi, one of his second missionary trips. And he started this church in a little small town with a woman by the name of Lydia. She was from Thyatira. Say that a few times. She was the seller of purple. And she and her household and a few friends were by the riverside praying. And Paul stopped by. And you know they had a serious prayer meeting up in there. And it was so serious that they got saved. And not only did she get saved, but her whole household got saved. And not only did her whole household get saved, but she started having church in her house. And it said that revival started a commotion in Philippi that built a whole congregation. I loved it. Paul is blessed. But it wasn't that he was blessed because he's any different than you and I. Paul just knew his purpose. And he was so convicted when he wrote this letter. He said, I'm confident of this one thing, that he, meaning Jesus, who has begun a good work in you, in them, in us, will complete it or bring it to fulfillment until the day of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we know that this passage, that it is God and God alone who chose us in the beloved and positionally has sanctified us. And I know we don't like to use that word much in the Baptist church, but if you're saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, then you're sanctified. Amen. You're set apart through the work, presence, and power of the Holy Ghost. We are born of the Spirit. And if we're going to be children of God and on purpose, then we got to be intentional about this thing. We have to be led by the Spirit in order for God to call us his sons and daughters. 1 Peter 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us in the beloved. And we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. He will not leave us alone. He started it, and he's capable of finishing it. We are progressively being sanctified day by day. It says the outward man is perishing. That's what the Word of God says. But the inward man is being renewed day by day. I said, wow, Lord, you will do some things. And then if that's not enough, he went so far as to seal us. Y'all ever seal a letter? Try to open it after you sealed it. Little difficult, isn't it? Isn't it? Anybody ever try to open a letter after you sealed it? Tear it up, don't you? Mm-hmm. I know. I've been there. But I want you to know that's how it is. God has sealed you and I, which means the seal of approval that he's put on us by the Holy Spirit cannot easily be removed. Matter of fact, it can't be removed. It's indelible. Nobody believes me today. The work of salvation is called a progressive work. We are being developed into the image and likeness of God. We lost it in the Garden of Eden. But Jesus brought it back. Adam failed. Jesus succeeded. The Christian walk is a pathway to ongoing growth. We need to be growing. Every round should go what? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But the journey should bring us closer to God than when we began, till we become perfected in him. that when Jesus himself shall appear, we shall be like him because we'll see him as he is. That's glorification. Hallelujah. See, one day when Jesus cracks the sky, I'm not talking about the second coming. I'm talking about the rapture. Anybody know that there is a preceding before the second coming? That's the rapture of the church where we're going to be snatched out of here.
Right.
Hallelujah. But you can't be quickened unless you got the Holy Ghost. So we can walk around talking a whole lot, but if we're not sealed, then we can't get up. Hallelujah. So I need us to understand that we need to know without a shadow of doubt who we are and whose we are and what our purpose is in this life. Because God is holding you and I accountable for our behavior and for our conduct. The good work God begun in each of us led me to Acts 1 and 8. Because we know that God is good all the time.
God is good.
Amen. Hey, we know that Christianese, don't we? But I need us to understand something. The good work that he begun in us is not just a salvific, positional, progressive glorification. There's a work that he's begun in each of every one of us that we must man our post. Reverend Bowman always prays when she prays. We thank God for the men and women that are on their post or on their station. So when you walk in the door, you should see some nurses and you should see some ushers and you should see some greeters and you should see some security. Should you not?
Amen.
Because they're doing what? Man in their posts. And then when you come in the sanctuary, you should see a drummer and you should see a pianist and you should see an organist and you should see a praise leader. Amen. Because they are what? Hallelujah. And you should see a scripture reader. Hallelujah. Because they're on their post. Sometimes we're not on our post. We're derelict of duty. We're MIA. We're missing in action. And God is calling the church back. Come on. Because he begun the work. And he wants to finish it. Hallelujah. The good work. And Acts 1 and 8 tells us that Jesus left his disciples with these words. But you shall receive power. Power, power, power. Fire power. Children of God, we're walking around so weak. We're scared to tell somebody we saved. We don't know how to pray for our family members. We don't believe we can get an answer through. That's not power. God said you shall receive power. Dunamis, explosive, dynamite, explosive, inactive power. The Holy Ghost will give you power to do what? Witness. How many of you told somebody about Jesus this week? I see. Sometimes we okay that we saved, but we're not concerned about our families. I pray every day for my family to get saved. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I don't take for granted anything about any of them. I'm praying every day. Lord, you who are able to do exceedingly abundant above all that I'm able to think and even ask by the power of Christ that works in me, please touch them. Send a laborer along the vein and touch them, Lord God. I don't send God to the hospital. I go. Because the Holy Ghost is not to be sent. God sent him for us. Now we are to use what has been empowered in us to do the work of kingdom. Oh, come on, y'all. We ain't witnessing because too many souls are going unsaved. Too many young people are running away from the church because we have not set a good example, saints. They see more hell in here than they do out there. Yes, I said it. And I know many of us are rocking and reeling from the remnants of COVID and air quality challenges and affirmative action repeals and gun violence and mental health, you name it. And there appears to be turmoil all around us. But the word says, in this life you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, because I have already overcome, and greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We've already got the victory. Stop. Stop, think, observe, and proceed. Ask for direction. How many of us know that from the time we started driving, when we got off course, now we have a new system? It's called Waze. Our navigational system. And some of us have systems that talk to us. I think Reverend Swinton got one in her car. It'd be talking to you. Yeah. But no, most of us know that that's just a play on words. It's really W-A-Y-S, meaning various routes to your appointed destination. Well, our divine purpose navigational system is called ASK. Always seek knowledge. Pray. The scripture tells us in Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be. Given. Seek and ye shall. Knock and the door shall. Why do we think God put that in his word? Do you think that he had nothing else to do, so he put some fillers in? God says what he means, and he means what he says. So we need to get on God's navigational system. Amen? And leave ours alone. Amen? Because we're off course. 1 Kings 3:5, when Solomon was beginning his leadership reign, the Lord appeared to Solomon at night in a dream and said to Solomon, ask me what you will. And Solomon asked for wisdom, and God gave it to him. Now, Solomon made some missteps, everybody, but he asked for the right thing. We've got to learn how to ask and wait on God to reveal it. Don't be so mealy-mouthed and so wishy-washy and so impatient. All of you microwave individuals, everything don't come out fast. We got to listen for the voice of God. Psalms 46 says, be still and know that I am God. He will be exalted. And he tells us to wait on him and be encouraged while we wait. Because he's going to what? Strengthen our heart. Listen for the voice of God. Do you know God is speaking right now? You know, I've begun to now put my ear. I do. I start listening. I listen to God now in things that I never thought I'd listen to before. I walk in a building and I listen to see what God is saying. No, I don't believe that a piece of paper blowing on the floor is God telling me to do something, but I do believe that the piece of paper blowing on the floor is for God telling me to stop and pay attention. Because sometimes we don't pay attention to the signs that are going on around us. Amen? And then the final thing is be obedient. Hearing is wonderful, but it's not enough. Praying is good, and that's a great discipline. But the greater discipline is being able to listen and follow instructions. I told you a song at the very beginning of this text. Did y'all remember what it was?
Yes.
Don't y'all remember? Where he
leads me,
I will
follow.
James 1:22 tells us to be doers of the word and not hearers only, because then we deceive ourselves. The Old Testament writer in Jeremiah 7:23 tells us, obey the voice of the Lord. And you, my people, shall be called by my name and walk in all of my ways that I have commanded you, and it will be well with you. But we got to be doers in order to benefit from that text. This cannot be achieved in our own strength. It cannot be achieved in our own might. We have to be able to yield ourselves to the will and the plan and the purposes of God for each and every one of our lives. I told you this was not going to be my normal, but I thank God that it's normal. Amen? I went back to a verse that said, well, Father, after you've done all of this, what do I need to do? And he said, love. I don't like that word too much sometimes. I like it when it's being showered on me. But sometimes people are unlovable. And I'm like, how can I love? But the Lord told me in Romans 5 that the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. So if you got the Holy Ghost, you can love. I don't care what the person does. I don't care how the person behaves. I don't care what the person looks like, what they smell like, what they dress like. God said the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. And if we don't love, we're like sounding brass and tinkling cymbals, clanging gongs, just making a lot of noise, talking loud and saying, hallelujah, hallelujah. So finally, my brothers and sisters, if you don't know your purpose, and you should by now, but just in case you got no, of course, like some of us have, amen, I need you to stand this morning. I need you to stand. Join me. Stand. Because the gifts of God come without repentance. The Lord who begun this good work in you, he will bring it to pass. Why? Because he cannot fail. Because he's an on-time God. Because he said, I'll never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. Because he said, all things are working together for the good of those who love me, for those who are called according to my purpose. So I need everybody in here that believes God is able and know that you want to get back on course. I need you to lift your hands to the Lord and start talking to Jesus. Call his name. Father, I need you. I want you to do a work in me. I want you, Lord God, to get me back on course. I want you, Lord God, to help me to fulfill my plan and purpose. I want you, Lord God, to love me so I can love someone else. I want you, Lord God, to do a great work in me. Come on, y'all, talk to God. Talk to God. Tell him what you want. Tell him what you want. He's waiting on you. He's waiting to hear your voice. He knows you. He loves you. He's able. He wants to do a good work in you. But you've got to believe it. You've got to want it. You've got to need it. You've got to be desperate for it. Come on, y'all. I don't hear you. I don't hear you. I don't hear you. Call out to our God. Cry aloud. You. If you believe he saved you, if you believe he's got a plan for your life and a purpose, then begin to worship him. Begin to worship him. Worship him. Worship him. Worship him. Worship him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that I serve the risen Savior. Anybody else glad? I'm so glad that my God cannot fail. Anybody else glad? I'm so glad that he continues to make a way out of no way. How many of us are glad today? I'm so glad that he brought me out of darkness into his marvelous light. How many of you are glad this morning? I'm so glad that he healed my broken spirit. Anybody glad he healed your broken spirit? I'm so glad that he raised me up. Hallelujah. He picked me up, turned me around, put my feet on solid ground. I'm so glad. We can't experience the miracles of God if we don't believe it. I'm tired of being in dry churches. I'm sorry. Where we don't believe that God can do a miracle right here in our midst. Everybody don't have to walk out of here the same way they came in here. I'm tired of coming in broke and going out broke. I'm tired of going in, coming in hurting and going out hurting. There should be somebody in this sanctuary that has the power that when you stand next to them, the Holy Ghost in them captures you. And you say, I don't know what it was, but something in you. Songwriter said something on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. If I don't ever stand behind this sacred dust again, I'm okay. Because I know what God called me to do. And he called me to challenge you, to get you off of your seats, to get you out of your complacency, to recognize that we can't walk this way anymore. We came out of a pandemic and we still acting like we don't believe that God delivered. The first Sunday I came walking through that door, I didn't walk, I ran. They said, run, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his holy name, for the Lord is good, his mercies is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Stop sitting on the power of God. Stop sitting on the goodness of God. Stop sitting on the gifts that God has placed with you. Get up. I love you. God bless you.